let's get started here. Be seated. Thank you. All right, if you love Jesus, say amen. Oh boy, that was pitiful. Let's try it again. If you love Jesus, say amen. I'm so excited to have you here. Of course, all the returning folks, thank you for coming back to college to finish what you started. And all the freshmen, raise your hand, all the freshmen that are here in college this year, it's so good to see you. I think you have made a wonderful choice, and thank you for choosing Hiles Anderson College. I've got to give a shout out to all the City Baptist graduates and Chicago bus riders. Once you raise your hand, once you stand, do me a favor, just stand up real quick. If you're a City Baptist graduate or you're from Chicago, stand up, remain standing. You know, most of these that are standing, not all of them, most of them graduated from City Baptist School, some just in recent months and some a few years ago. But what's interesting about each of these young people that are standing is that almost every single one of them, either they or their family, was reached by a Hiles Anderson College student. Isn't that something? To think that you're part of a college where you get to go to a bus route every weekend and knock on doors with the potential of meeting a young person just like these that are standing here today, winning them to Christ, bringing them on a Sunday school bus, and watching them grow in the Lord to the place where now they're studying at Hiles Anderson College. And what a wonderful college to be part of this. I'm so honored by those that are standing. I'm so proud of you. And thank you for being here, for choosing Hiles Anderson. And just can't even hardly express my gratitude and also how happy it makes me. You know, we work so hard we're trying to reach Chicago for God and for Christ, and to see young people like this who went through our bus ministry and to watch them now as students is just a wonderful thing. You can be seated. It's hard to believe this, but it's true. 40 years ago this week, I walked on this campus as a freshman at Hiles Anderson College. I was 5 years old. I was not 5 years old, but I was 17 years old when I walked on this campus. There was not one person from my home church that was here. Anybody else like that? You're the only one from your church? Yeah, I feel your pain. There you go. And it was a lonely feeling. It was different. I came from Massachusetts all the way, drove about 850 miles, or I guess closer to 1,000 miles to college here, and didn't know anybody. Didn't know one person that attended Hiles Anderson or that was here. And I'll be honest, those first few days, and I lived at Baptist City. There wasn't enough room here on campus to put all the men, so some of us had to live at Baptist City and lived out of Baptist City. But those first few days, I'll be honest, they were a little challenging. And even the first few weeks were a little challenging. But I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you this, 40 years later, I can tell you that I'm so glad that I stayed. I'm so glad that I endured some difficult days and difficult times. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the message this morning. But I'm so glad that I stayed and finished what I started. And you will too. You may not always feel that way. And there'll be some days where you're going to question and wonder. But I tell you, there's some things that I heard in chapel that really helped me. Statements like, never undo in doubt what you did in faith. Well, I remember sitting out there as a student and grabbing on to that, because there were times when I needed that statement. never undo in doubt what you did in faith. I remember Dr. Evans standing behind this pulpit, he'd say, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. And boy, there were times when I literally felt like I was at the end of my rope, and I did what he said, just tied a knot and just hung on. And I'm so glad that I hung on and finished what God had for me. Judges chapter 6. Our time is short. Judges chapter 6. And turn to verse number 11. Judges chapter 6. And verse number 11. And I'm going to read quickly and go through our message in the time we have left. Judges chapter 6. And I'll begin reading in verse number 11. And you can follow along as I read. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Father, I do pray that you would please meet with us these next few moments. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would put away anything that would distract them from hearing from you. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I just pray that your will be done and you'd speak to us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar story, one of my favorite in the Bible. It's a story of Gideon. If you look at chapter number 5, and keep your Bibles open if you would, in verse 31 of chapter 5, the Bible says, So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest for 40 years. So for 40 years, the children of Israel enjoyed a peaceful time. No attacks from their enemy, but they became complacent in their prosperity and began to do evil in God's sight. And we learn here in the beginning of chapter 6 that the Lord brought them into bondage by the Midianites. And this oppression would eventually bring them back to God. You know, sometimes God brings trials into our life to get our attention. We should never let a trial go to waste. Any trial that comes into our life where we question what God is doing, we should always wonder and ask the Lord, is there something that you are trying to show me? Is there a reason why I'm going through this difficult time? And really, trials come so we can learn from them. You know, one thing we want to do while we live this Christian life is we want to pass the trial. We want to pass the test. Because if we don't pass the test now, chances are those tests keep coming back. And those trials keep coming back throughout our life. And while you're in college, you're going to go through some trials. And those trials are not bad things. You're going to go through difficulties, and there's going to be challenges, but never look at a challenge as something bad. Look at it as an opportunity for God to teach you something and show you something and to show himself real in your life. These trials came to the children of Israel to bring them back to God. Sometimes God brings trials, especially if we're living in disobedience. Disobedience to God is not trusting him that his way is better. Don't miss that. Disobedience to God is not trusting him that his way is better. We may not feel comfortable with all that God wants us to do, but listen, young people, His way is always better for our life. The obeying the commands of God and following the precepts of the Lord and the principles that God has laid out for in the Word of God may not always be comfortable. It may not always appeal to our flesh, but it always is a better way. There's a reason why God gave us His commands. He gave us His statutes. He gave us the scripture, and He gave us a way to live. Why? Because it's better. It's a better way to live. The oppression, if you look with me at verse number 2, the oppression drove them to live in caves and to be humiliated. And we find that in verse number 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. The oppression made their work of no profit. They worked hard to grow produce and raise animals to be taken by the Midianites. Look at verse 3. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And you know, this is exactly what sin does. It robs us of what we work hard to gain. You know, I wonder how many people have lost everything because of sin. And that's exactly what sin does. Sin robs us of things that we work so hard to gain. Finally, in verse number 6 and verse 7, we see here that they cried out to God for help. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. What does God do next? He calls a man. We live in a world that is in bondage and being oppressed by Satan. Millions of people are on their way to an everlasting hell because of the lies of Satan. And what is the answer to this dilemma? You know, you don't have to look very hard to see the condition of our country. You don't have to look very hard to see that our nation is going to hell, and our nation is totally ignored the God that created them. It's not hard to see the destruction. It's not hard to see the bondage that people live in. And what is God's answer to this dilemma? The answer is to call a man. Look at Romans chapter 10. Quickly, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. Let's read this out loud together if we can. Ready? How then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Read that last phrase again. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How will the world know of Christ without a preacher? How will the world be saved without a preacher? How will people come back to God without a preacher? God calls men. God calls ladies to serve Him with their lives. We see in the story here that God calls Gideon to deliver the children of Israel from bondage of the Midianites. And we read later in chapter 8 that 120,000 Midianites were slain. I want you to notice a statement in the Bible in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Thou mighty man of valor." Look what God calls Gideon. He says, "Thou mighty man of valor." What does valor mean? Valor is, it means to have courage and bravery. I want to commend you for having the courage to come to Hiles Anderson College. I want to commend you for having the guts to leave your home, pack your things, and come here to Bible College. It took a lot of guts. Some of you left family that you love dearly and friends that you cared about. Some of you watched your friends go into the military or go into a career, or go into a secular college, but you knew God had called you. And I want to commend you for your courage and for the bravery that you have shown to come here to Bible College. It took a lot of guts. Maybe you gave up your own dreams of a career, dreams of making money, or dreams of just being something else besides a preacher of the gospel, or besides being a missionary, or besides being a Christian school teacher, and you came here to Hiles Anderson College, and I just want to say it took a lot of guts. And I commend you for your bravery and for your courage to come. The word valor not only means to have courage and to be brave, but especially in battle. A mighty man of valor, be strong and be of good courage as you go through battles this year at Hiles Anderson College. There's going to be difficult days ahead. And by the way, I don't underestimate the battle of homesickness, because I was there. I remember going to my dorm my freshman year, just, and no one knew. My roommate, I cried quietly. But I cried. Man, I cried. I cried because I missed my parents, I missed my church, I missed home. I cried because I was in this strange place called Hiles Anderson College. I had strange roommates. No, really, I'm not kidding. I had some real weirdos as roommates. Anybody want to testify this morning? You want to testify? Yeah, here we go. And boy, I tell you, homesickness was a real thing. But at some point of being homesick, I had to decide to have courage. I had to decide to be strong. Even when I didn't feel like being here, even when I didn't feel like staying. And let me just encourage you, young people, be strong and have courage. Be strong and have courage during difficult days. It's going to be difficult when you hear bad, sad news from home. Maybe some issue or problem in your family. And I tell you, the temptation, you're going to want to jump in a car and go solve it. You're going to want to get on a plane and go home and try to fix the problems at home. Let me just encourage you, don't resist that temptation. God brought you here for a reason. God brought you here for a purpose, and you need to stay and finish what you started. There'll be financial pressure. That first payment was the easy one. It's the next one that's going to be more challenging. And then one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. But listen, be strong and have good courage as you work and pay your school bill and do the right thing every single day. You need to decide now to be strong and have good courage. You say, Brother John, how can I do that? I'll tell you how. Because the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. How many remember the day you got saved? Remember that? Man, wasn't that an awesome day in your life? Wasn't that a sweet time in your life when you settled your salvation and you were convicted, you were bothered, you knew you were on your way to hell, but at that moment of trusting Christ, you know what you knew at that moment? That God was with you. And can I tell you this morning that that same God that was with you at salvation is with you right now. He hasn't left you. Remember when God called you to preach? Well, I do. Remember when God called you into the ministry? God called you to serve? And boy, I do. I remember that day. It was like God was sitting in the chair right next to me. I felt the conviction. I felt the moving of God in my heart. I knew God wanted me to surrender. I knew God wanted me to stand to my feet. He wanted me to walk the aisle. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, God was right there. Can I tell you, that same God that was there at the altar when you cried or you knelt and you surrendered your life to God is the same God that is with you today. He's the same God that is with you right now. He's not left you. He's not left you. He's right there. And the reason you can have courage and the reason you can be strong is because God is there. The second thing I want you to notice, and we're almost done, in verse 16, the Bible says, "Thou shall smite the Midianites as one man." That's interesting to me, as one man. You know what that teaches me is I never want to underestimate the potential that one man can have for the cause of Christ. One man would kill and be responsible for 120,000 Midianites. He said, you're gonna slew them, you're gonna slay them as one man. The power that one man can have, the influence that one person can have, the impact that one person can have for Christ. God wants to use you to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And I have no doubt in my mind that 10 years from today, some of you men will be pastors. Isn't that awesome? Some of you men will be assisting, be an assistant pastor, be a youth pastor. You'll be serving in a church. Some of you will be missionaries. Some of you will be on the mission field 10 years from now, 10 years from today. And I have no doubt that God's going to use you. God has great plans for your life. But let me just say this. Your ministry starts here and now. It doesn't start in 10 years when you get to the mission field. It starts here and it starts now. Who will you win to Christ this weekend? Who will you help get baptized this year? Who will you help disciple and help grow in the Lord this year? Who will you invite? Who will you bring? Who will be in the pews of our church and our children's classes or our teen department because you brought them? Because you knocked on their door? Because you invited them? See, your ministry starts here and now. There's nothing wrong with dreaming that one day you'd have a church filled with people, the pastor. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But let me ask you this. How about fill your bus while you're here? Nothing wrong with dreaming and thinking about preaching to crowds and having people listen to you as you preach. But how about preach to that Sunday school class on Sunday? How about preach on the night bus, those teenagers on Sunday nights? And have influence and have an impact here and now while you serve. And then lastly, I want you to notice, I want you to make this last point. Always stay small in your own sight. I think one reason God chose Gideon is because of his humility. We see that in verse 15. He says, "Who am I? Who am I? I'm nobody." And let me just remind you, we're all a bunch of nobodies. We're nobody. None of us are worthy to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege to serve God. I'm humbled and I'm honored to think that God would use any of us. Let me just say, as God uses you, stay small in your own sight. Stay small in your own sight. Sad story in 1 Samuel. Bible says in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 17, and Samuel said, "What? When thou," he says this, he said to Saul, he said, Samuel said, "When thou was small, when thou was little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? When thou was little in thy sight," let me just encourage you young people, always stay small in your own sight. Gideon was called a mighty man. He was mighty in humility to thresh wheat on the winepress floor. He was mighty in compassion as he cared about the condition of the Israelite people. He was mighty in knowledge. He knew the great things that God had done in the past. He was mighty in hunger, wanting God to do something great once again. He was mighty in weakness, knowing that God's strength is perfected in our weakness. I just have three admonitions for you this morning as we close chapel. Be strong and of good courage. Decide now. Decide now. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to have courage. I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. I'm not going to undo and doubt what I did in faith. I'm not going to underestimate my potential for God. Not to be proud, not to be boastful, but just an understanding that I have an opportunity to make a difference, an opportunity to make an impact, an opportunity to have influence. And I want to underestimate that. Then stay small in your own sight. God, when God called you, he called a humble young person and you surrendered. Let's stay humble. Let's stay humble. And let's be humble that God would even think to call us or use us or bless us in any way like he has. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to take these simple truths that we learn from the life of Gideon. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be strong. Lord, help us to have the guts and the courage to keep moving forward. Keep pushing. Keep working. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Lord, help us to value and understand our potential. God spoke to your heart this morning. The altar's open. If you want to kneel at your chair,